Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
On this episode of Bantha Milk Podcast, it's our second edition of Around the Degeric Table with two completely awesome guests, Eric from Ears Up and Mark Anthony Austin from Everywhere Famous. Wait till you check this out. All right, here we go.
Intro music. Feels no good to me dead.
Welcome to Bantha Milk Presents Around the Degeric Table, a roundtable discussion discussing anything and everything we can about Star Wars. This will be a monthly, or even trying to get bi-monthly, as long as I can find enough friends to talk to, discussion group where we invite two friends to the show to come on with a question, and we discuss each of these four questions. I'm your host, Rob, and each episode I will be joined by my co-host, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Rob. So I guess I'm your co-pilot.
So
am I Han Solo and you're Chewbacca, or are you Chewbacca? Well, who's who?
I have the Chewbacca Crocs, and for anybody that wants to have fun, with all of your food apps, change your name to Chewbacca or Batman or something silly, maybe even, you know, Boba Fett, A New Hope or something like that. And then when you drive through the drive-thru of Taco Bell, tell them Chewbacca's here, and they really enjoy it. So I'll be Chewbacca. You can be Han Solo.
Will teenagers even know who Chewbacca is?
Some of them. One person even, as I was driving through, he made the Chewbacca noises. He was like, so it was fun. Today we have two very special guests with us. First, we have Mark Anthony Austin, who, before I even continue on, I have to ask, I love your Facebook posts, all the vintage photos. Are they your photos, or are these things that you found, or is there a mix of each of those maybe in there?
Each of them, my posts, I find that day and I post that day.
Okay.
I consider myself a behind the scenes image bounty hunter.
I love it.
But I wouldn't have anywhere to store the all these pictures. So I don't want to fill up my memory. So I post them and I delete them.
Okay.
It's all logged up in here. So when I go looking, I know if I've seen it or if I haven't posted it for a very, very long time.
That's awesome. Well, other than your awesome post, so if you don't follow him on Facebook or Instagram, definitely follow him because he shows especially a lot of Star Wars, vintage photos of Star Wars. Princess Leia, very young, Carrie Fisher's, you know, Luke Skywalker's, all the vintage stuff. You even had one, a lot of models. You were showing miniatures of Gotham City and things like that. Really, really cool stuff that you're posting. But you've done more things than just that. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about you in this brief intro? You can go on as long as you want. I don't care. You're awesome. So go for it. Tell us everything you want.
I'm just an animator. That's it. I'm just an animator. I've just been started as a 2D animator, became a digital animator, one of the first digital animators. And you know, everyone thinks I know technology because I was one of the first digital animators, which you guys found out tonight. I am not, very much not. I've worked on over 50 movies, worked on commercials, worked on games. Mostly my passion and my work has become movie centric. So, but right now, between jobs, because you know, there's no work because of the strikes.
Because of the strike, yeah.
Yeah, so no work, and they're not thinking it might not pick up for, could be 9 months' time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just tightening the belts and, you know, and trying to batten down the hatches and wait it out. But, maybe
so can you freelance your stuff?
There's no work.
No.
There's no work because, you know, that all the writers haven't written anything. Then the actors have to act, and then that's when I come in at the special effects end. And I did go into animation again with Netflix. The last 4 years I was with Netflix animation, though. So I did go back to animation. It's where I started. But I kind of go between animation and special effects back and forth. But yeah, right between jobs. So if anyone needs...
Anybody needs a very skilled animator or special effects guy, hit you up. Well, I'll hire you. I don't have any money.
Yeah, we don't have any money.
Yeah, that's what I need, though. That's the thing I need.
Oh, you want to do it for money. Yeah, it's so weird.
I've got a mortgage.
You got a mortgage.
I live in Los Angeles. It's expensive.
It's very expensive.
They're going to charge you for breathing soon.
I think they will. Well, you know, you got to breathe in all that clean air in L.A.
So we can't pay you in meatballs like Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer?
Last thing I did work on was Adam Sandler's Leo.
Did you?
It just came out last month on Netflix.
Yeah, it's number 6 in movies in Netflix right now. I was actually going to talk to you about that.
I actually saw my big movie that nobody ever saw is number 3 in the Netflix charts, Love and Monsters.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did most of the creature effects in that, or supervised most of the creature effects for that that's movie, awesome. But no one had ever seen it, and now it's number 3 in the charts. So
it's really good funny for me. Yeah, it's weird how movies, especially Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff, like the strangest movies suddenly just like get big all of a sudden.
I know. In October, Casper did really well. That's where I started in movies, and suddenly that was number 1. So I was like, yes.
You're like, I'm back, people. I'm here. Yeah. Well, not only have you been an animator and all those things, but the way we found you was because of your Instagram title, Boba Fett ANH for A New Hope. You were on our show way back in 2001, and I want to thank you for that again. It was an
was
awesome.
Was it 2001?
I think, or 2021. Sorry, 2021.
I was going to say.
We're a lot older than we thought.
Yeah. 2021. I knew there was a one in there somewhere. Just, you know, 20-year time difference. But, yeah, during that time, we interviewed you about being on the Boba Fett Inn when they digitally remastered it, mm-hmm. and how you were a part of a lot of the digital remastering of the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna have our viewers listen to that all over again. If they want, they can go back to that episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were a great guest. It was really awesome meeting you then, and I'm very happy that you said sure, I'll come on again. I'm sure you're hoping we'll be able to pay you, but we can't.
That's okay.
Well, thank you. And then our other guest is Eric. Try and top that, buddy. He is on lots and lots of podcasts all over the interwebs. From Ears Up podcast to his own new podcast that he's doing. And he's also part of Concierge, which is a travel planner. But you don't need me to tell you. Eric, tell us all about yourself.
Well, right now I'm just trying. I'm looking up Mark's Instagram page and following because it sounds great. So I'm in there. I'm not on that many podcasts. Okay. We're just talking. We've got a few, one of which you stole from me.
I did this one.
Yes. This very podcast idea you stole from the Hub Crawl, which we stole from an IT podcast. So don't worry about it.
Okay. Perfect. Good.
Roundtable discussions, open topics for all. Please listen to the Hub Crawl. Please listen to Bowie Splaining, my newest podcast.
He's learning all about David Bowie.
Episode 2 coming soon. And there are others that if you're an Ears Up listener, you're probably already listening to. So there you go.
There we go. So that's it. There are two guests today. It's going to be a great time. We have 4. I will say, I mean, this is only our second episode, but these all 4 questions are awesome. I think they're the 4 best questions that we have for any of our shows so far. So I'm really excited about this. And I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. So I'm going to start it off with my first question, which I thought about this a lot because I was like, what's a good one that everybody can try to relate to or would want to relate to? So my question is, if you could have any droid in real life that would do things in this universe, which of the droids would you want to have for yourself? So I, forget already. I'm sending it to Mark. So, Mark, you get to answer this first challenging question.
Well, my favorite droid, I don't know if I'd like to own one, but my favorite droid is the probe droid. And everyone's favorite droid is R2 usually, or BB-8 or whatever. But probe droid, I don't know why. I think it's just because of the spidery look, maybe, the design. But I would love to have a probe droid. And I'd send it off on missions, find me a job or something. You know? I just love the chatter. My ringtone has been a probe droid for, I don't know how long, over a decade.
That's awesome.
But my wife knows the probe droid ringtone or the probe chatter. So when we watch the movies, she suddenly hears that chatter and looks for my phone.
She's like, is your phone going off again?
Yeah. But I think a probe droid, and I was so in love with it. Oh, the painting's hidden. It's back there. I decorated my office because I've got some time to. but I painted a large, I think it was like 4 foot by 2 foot large vertical painting of it. I'm so obsessed with the probe droid. So that was my choice anyway. So I'll pass it along to Eric.
Well, I have something back here too. I've got my Lego probe droid.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
great choice. I decided to go with a little more of a companion droid, maybe one that won't try to murder me. L337 from Solo. I love how sassy she is. I love that repartee between Lando and the droid. Oh, good. Now our dogs are barking at each other.
She's just agreeing with your choice. Is the mute handy?
But I think one of those things that I just love about the character, it's such a standalone character, such a movie that I really think the movie's underrated. And I love that she became this icon. She became more of an icon after she was destroyed. She became part of the Millennium Falcon. And that's part of why Han has this bond with this ship. Like, what a cool idea. I thought that was great. I mean, say what you will about the way they named Han Solo, but the rest of the movie is solid. And I really like them introducing these new characters we've never seen before. Part of that, kind of like that Rogue One bit where we're introducing brand new characters to the Star Wars saga. We don't need a lightsaber here. We can tell great stories without all of that. I think that's what I want more of in the future anyway, but that's a different topic, isn't it? Tom, what's your go-to?
Yeah, first, you're going to have your hands full with that droid. I mean, she she can give you the business. She can tell you what's on her mind, which is kind of which is why I chose K2SO from Rogue One, because he's not afraid to give it to you straight, just like L3. L3's a little more sassy than K2, but they do have very similar personalities. But I do like how he gives it to you straight. I feel like he's good for many different tasks. He looks really strong. Obviously, if you've seen the movie, he just picks up stuff and just throws them. He carries people just in the air. he's probably pretty good with combat. He seems really smart. So K2SO is my choice for being a good companion droid. So I'm going to pass it on to Rob, and I have a feeling I know who Rob's going to choose because he's a Mandalorian fan.
Well, you are correct. I am a huge Mandalorian fan. I loved when the first season of it came out. And I'm going to pick IG-11, but not the evil IG-11 that was very awesome as a comedic sidekick in when he was trying to destroy and blow up Baby Yoda when they first met him. I want the IG-11 that can be useful in our society. having a droid that can go around killing people isn't going to do us any good, because then I wind up in jail and that's not useful to me. But the one that was the loving one, that one, the one that was the baby, the nanny to Baby Yoda later on, the one that I could probably say, go out back and do some gardening for me. And he'll be like, okay, I'll go do some gardening. So that's the IG-11 that I want, is the nice, the fun, the useful droid. I was thinking funny. Yeah. Very, you know, that voice and that, his tone and his whole demeanor was very good as well. I was thinking, like Mark said, you know, BB-8, R2-D2, they're like fan favorites, but are they useful in our real world? And like, what could R2-D2 really do for us? It's, you know, I guess we could put a tray on top of his head and he could serve, you know, drinks to people, but.
I have stairs in my house and they're made of wood. So if he's going to go up them, he's going to burn my house down.
Exactly. He's going to, you know, so I didn't think in the real world that they would be very useful. So, and I don't have an X-Wing fighter that I can plop them in and help guide me anywhere. So, yeah, so that's why I stayed away from those two.
I'm actually really happy that none of you chose R2-D2, because I would have thought he would have been the number one choice of, if you asked 9 out of 10 people, they would have said R2-D2. But
right.
I'm glad, like, I really like all of your choices. They all make a lot of sense.
Now, would I want to, you know, cosplay and build an R2 unit that I could take, you know, to festivals and carnivals and whatever? Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, because then you get a lot of attention that way. But for something that would be more practical, he's not very practical for us.
No.
So, all right.
Great point.
Yeah. All right, Mark, it's your turn. You can ask your question to the group.
Okay. My question was, you know, Solo movie was kind of like a backstory spin-off, you know, backstory for Han Solo, Chewbacca, and, you know, Andor was a backstory for, you know, Cassian Andor. My question is, if you could choose a character, maybe even an obscure character, which character would you like to see a backstory of and why? So I'm going to pass that to Eric, because I asked the question, Eric has to go first.
All right. So I guess Lando's getting a project and I want to see that. I do want to see that for sure. And so many of these characters, when you say let's go for somebody a little more obscure, a lot of them feel like a joke, because so many characters are kind of throwaway but still have kind of a story, and we've had books written about a lot of the minor characters in the past. I guess if I'm going to pick somebody, let's go with somebody on the Empire side. How did Admiral Piett get where he was, or Captain Piett, before he was promoted? It seems almost like a joke, because, I mean, all these characters that Vader just kills indiscriminately. But I want to know more about how somebody who's not a stormtrooper is raised in the Empire. What's it like to be an officer and be terrified of this massive man that... I mean, yeah. So Admiral Piett is the first name that came to my mind. I think we could come up with something fun for somebody like that on the Empire side. Tom, where are you thinking?
So I went with Count Dooku. The reason why I chose Count Dooku is I think he was an interesting character, because he was very similar to Anakin. He turned to the dark side. He was a Jedi, turned to the dark side. I think there's a good backstory there. I have a feeling that he has always had a mistrust for the Jedi Order. And I think that could play some really interesting stories. He seemed rebellious. You could tell he was rebellious. He passed that on to Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon was rebellious, and Qui-Gon was his Padawan learner. So I feel like there's some good stories there. I'd love to see like a Disney Plus series on it. Maybe showing him in his prime, maybe like his 30s, teaching Qui-Gon, but also teaching Qui-Gon to question authority, not to always trust the Jedi Order, just to think outside the box, think outside the Jedi Order. I think it'd be interesting to see what the Jedi Council looked like 50 years ago, when Dooku was in his prime.
Yeah.
Obviously Yoda was on it, but who knows? Cause Mace would be too young to be on it. So who would be on the Jedi Council 50 years ago? It'd be similar to like the Mandalorian. We kind of know what happens. We know where Dooku goes, but it'd be interesting to see where his stories were as he was a Jedi in his prime. So he would be my choice. Dooku would be my choice. Rob, what do you think?
I was thinking, first off, Eric, your person reminded me a lot of the Thrawn books, one of the Thrawn trilogies where you're reading about Thrawn coming up in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. And I found myself almost rooting for Thrawn, even though he's this super evil bad guy. As you're reading it, you're like, oh, yeah, go for it. Oh, wait, hold on. No, you can't go for it. You're the bad guy, you know? But
well, yeah, no, those books were great. They yeah. were really well put together, and I love the way that they that Zahn wove in bits about Anakin and Vader and had multiple time periods going on. I really liked those, yeah.
Yeah, so when you were saying that, I was like, that would work because it worked in the books for Thrawn, so it would be fun to see somebody else in that type of a role. I was thinking somebody who we see on the Jedi Council in the movies, but we really don't know much about. The first one that came to mind for me was like Kit Fisto, because he's just a cool looking dude with his tentacles and everything like that. Like, it would be fun to see either a movie or a series or whatever about him. And especially now with Dave Filoni in charge. I mean, if he can make you like the Ugnaughts with Queel, and you're like, oh, the Ugnaughts are actual like creatures that have brains and stuff, and they're not just these silly grunts, whatever, that we saw in Empire. So if he can make you like an Ugnaught, then he can definitely make you like somebody like Kit Fisto or something like that. And it would be fun, like Tom was saying, what would the Jedi Council look like 50 years ago? It would be fun seeing other Jedis other than Skywalker, somebody who's was trained in the Jedi ways and in the council and all that stuff, going through their progression and their learning and all that stuff. So that would be mine. Mark, you asked the question, so I'm sure you got a better answer than all of us.
No. My answer is a bit obscure because I would choose Dr. Evazan and Ponda Baba / Warsman, just because I want to know why he has the death sentence in 12 systems. I want to know that story.
Yeah,
that would
yeah.
be amazing to find out each of those death sentences. Why? What did he do? What did he do?
He must
have done something amazing. So I would love to have that backstory. But going back to the Dooku suggestion, I think that plays really well because, you know, they've got Dooku, I sure would be, you know, start that rebellious thread. Because, as you said, he passed it on to Qui-Gon, who passed it on to Obi-Wan, who passed it on to Anakin. There's this rebellious thread that goes all through him, kind of like the Balan character in Ahsoka. So I think that's why Balan stood out. He was like the one thing in that series that really caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I think you're onto something there. I think that rebellious kind of thread, that questioning thread, you know, that I think I'm going to go to the other side. That thing that makes them switch over is very, very strong. And then when you said about Kit Fisto, I was thinking also I'd love to see if they did have it back, you know, a ways to have a very young Padawan Mace Windu in there as well.
Yeah.
Because I think because you know his end, you know where he's going, but I'd love to see his rise, you know, to becoming that dominant figure in the council. And it's funny, we were talking earlier about Love and Monsters. This is a side note. It will come back to this, I swear. You talk about Love and Monsters. I was working on Love and Monsters, working with a guy came, Matt Sloan. And he was the effects supervisor, Australian guy. Never did meet the director, always worked with Matt Sloan. And he came to America, to MPC, and we worked together for months and months and months and months and months. And then at the very end of the project, I suddenly find out he is Plo Koon.
Oh, no way.
And I'm like, hey, I'm Boba Fett. We had this moment. we just both were like stunned because we knew each other at that point. We knew each other really well, but we had no clue that we were both in Star Wars, both as characters that are pretty popular. So
yeah,
that's incredible.
Anyway, so that's my what comes to this: Matt Sloan, Love and Monsters, Plo Koon. Yeah,
that's really funny.
But I would, as I said, I would choose Dr. Evazan just to find out. I want to see why he had those death sentences.
Okay, and going on with that real fast, it's funny because you see people, you know, getting shot and killed all the time in Star Wars, and you know, nothing ever happens. You know, I mean, we see Han Solo, you know, in New Hope right away shooting Greedo, you know, but like then he just walks out of the cantina, you know. And how many stormtroopers have been killed by Luke Skywalker and whatever? And it's like, okay, they are the police force. You know, they're the authority and you're killing them, but yet you're just walking around freely, you know, like it is really funny that so many deaths have happened, but this guy has 12 death sentences against him. So he must have been seriously killing people.
and hey, maybe they had more adventures after the arm cutting off bit.
maybe.
Mark, did you like when he showed up in Rogue One, or did you think that was just fan service?
No, I mean I love any of those kind of those little things where they put characters in the background. Like there was that episode of The Mandalorian with I don't know even the character's name, that Cyclops character that was in charge of the wrestling place with the Gamorrean guards wrestling each other.
Right. Yeah.
I just love any of those appearances. So that is one of the things I do. I am really thankful for Dave Filoni for like putting all those, you know, he had the Salacious Crumb on the spit and the other ones in the cages. All those things just resonate with me. And I much prefer seeing those to new characters, you know, or as much as new characters, I must say. But I was glad to see him.
That's awesome. All right. I think it is Tom's question. You were going to send it over, and then I interrupted you, Mark.
No, I think it's Eric's question.
Go ahead, Eric. Yeah.
All right. So what's your favorite planet type in the Star Wars universe? And bonus, if you have a very specific planet that you really enjoy, desert planet, ice planet, lava planet, what do you think?
Okay, so weird thing happened during the recording of the show. Tom's audio somehow kicked out. So for the last two questions, you won't hear Tom's answer, even though Tom asks the last question. So enjoy the rest of the show with only three people talking, and just know that Tom was here. He just didn't get recorded. Well, of course, you know, you said, oh, the desert planet's the easiest one to pick. So I picked the desert planet. So Tom and I play a lot of a vintage game now, Star Wars Galaxies. I don't know if either of you ever played it or heard of it or anything like that, but it was it 2001, Tom, that it originally came out? 2003 originally. Okay. Yeah, so we played that for what it was originally released by Sony. And then they did a lot of changes throughout its run, and then they finally canceled it. And after it was canceled, there was a lot of people who were missing the game. So they took the code, and people wrote their own codes and stuff like that. So you can play it now on smaller servers and stuff like that. And so Tom and I are back playing it again. We go through these cycles where we play it, and we stop, and we play, and we stop. And we're back playing it again. So playing Star Wars Galaxies, I thought the regular planets are the easiest to live on, but I think I would like a desert planet because if you can survive on a desert planet, especially, you know, where Luke was growing up with two suns and a desert, like it's got to be unbearable to live on something like that. But the planet that I picked the most was, I don't even know how to say it, Cantonia, which is where they built the casino city, Canto Bright. In Solo, right? Solo, yeah.
No, Last Jedi.
Yeah, In The Last Jedi. So because I thought it was awesome that they were able to take this desert planet that nobody would want to live on and then put this awesome casino on it, and then they're able to get rich people, gangsters, everybody to come and gamble on their planet. So you get the best of both worlds. It is a desert planet, but then they're like, ha, tricked you. Look at this awesome casino city that we built. So I figured if you could build a casino city on a desert planet and get people to come to it, you got yourself a moneymaker right there. So that's why I picked that planet and even that city for that matter. Mark, what would you say?
See, I call that planet Las Vegas planet because it basically is Las Vegas on a planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they took the desert, they got rid of it, and they put a gambling city there. So, but I knew there was going to be some bad vibes for the desert planet. But I absolutely love Tatooine, only because I come from England. So when I saw this, when I was 11 years old, I wanted to live there where the sun shone, you know.
Two suns,
you know, it was even better. But I don't know, I think it's because it was the first planet we got to explore. You know, we went from the Tantive IV in the shuttle, and this is the first planet we explored. And just that Dune Sea, it might look boring, but I was just, as a kid, that was another world to me. You know, as I said, I lived in England, you know, it rains all the time.
Yeah.
So this planet with all the canyons and everything, and the Jawas and the Tusken Raiders were absolutely loved. I was so happy when in Jedi we came back, and I was like, oh, thank God. And then, you know, years, over a decade later, I get to play Boba Fett, but guess where? On Tatooine. So, you know, in Docking Bay 94, my favorite docking bay. So as much as it's hokey and corny to say Tatooine, it's ingrained in my blood now. It's like it's been there so long that I can't get sick of Tatooine.
I understand.
It's like home. And I wish they wouldn't, you know, keep regenerating, you know, when they had the Jakku and all that. It's like I wish they would branch out into some other biospheres, you know, or biomes.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess a close second would be Dagobah, because I really loved, again, because it was so alien to me coming from England, that, you know, sweltering, hot, moist, you know, swampy planet was, and it just seemed so harsh. It seemed harsher than Tatooine because, you know, Luke couldn't even land his ship properly. You know, you arrive there and all of a sudden you're crash landing. So it was like the most hazardous planet. but my first and foremost has to be Tatooine. So, Eric?
Well, as we're talking about this, one of the things that's always been interesting to me is why do all the planets have to have just one?
Yeah,
one biome. but you know, I'm from Chicago, and now I live in the mountains of Colorado. I love snow. This is my favorite time of year. I used to play in the snow for hours. My grandparents lived in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so we were up there most of the winter playing around, just digging in snow, building igloos, building snow tunnels in giant mounds of snow. Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that I really like the snow planets, and I loved the scenes in Hoth on Empire. I decided as my favorite planet to bring up Ilum, which I remember having a lot of fun on those playing on Ilum in the Old Republic, which is the game that I played more than Star Wars Galaxies, and finding out that this is one of the densest places for kyber crystals, and learning more about it over the years, and then finding out that they didn't name it The Force Awakens, but to find out that they hollowed the planet out and made it into a planet Death Star for The Force Awakens. I'm like, oh man, that's the planet that I really liked playing on in that game. I really like that, and it has such a tie to the Jedi, and to see that they're actually using it in some of the High Republic books and everything. I like that they're pulling it back in and they're giving it more of a backstory. I really enjoy that. So I'm picking Ilum as my favorite snow planet. Pretty important sort of place.
Mark, was there a lot of snow in London or in England where you grew up? Now,
no, it seemed to be when I was younger. I definitely saw a shift in England. In my childhood, there was a lot of snow. There was a lot of times at Christmas we'd be stranded in central London, couldn't even get back to the outskirts of London where my family lived. So we'd be holed up in my aunt's house for 4 or 5 days until we could drive back. And that happened quite a lot. So when in my young childhood, I remember snow. But then suddenly there was no snow. And then the biggest thing in England at Christmas in the betting shops is it going to snow on Christmas? to this day, because I think maybe because of the global warming, maybe, I don't know. But there doesn't seem to be snow since. Or if there is snow, it melts. It never settles. But when I was a kid, okay, I remember snow, and I don't remember it as a teen.
Okay, interesting. Because Tom and I are from New Jersey. I grew up in Pennsylvania, on right on the other side of...
I was there the other week.
Oh, nice. You should stop by, yeah. I know as a kid, we had lots of snow. And even when I was in college, I remember I went to Temple University, and there was 3 days where school was canceled because we had so much snow that they couldn't clear the roads and all that stuff. So we had 2 or 3 days where it was canceled. But I think last summer, we didn't have any snowstorms at all last summer. Or last winter.
It's really cold.
Well, you know, because we're in Australia, so summer is winter for us. So last winter, we didn't have any snow at all, as far as I can remember. I don't even think I took out the snowblower. I think Eric probably already has 2 feet of snow in Colorado by now.
It does take, like, every other year that we'll have a year without much snow at all. It's so sunny here that the snow melts pretty quickly. It's not like Chicago where the snow just turns into ice and it sticks around and it's gray for months. It's usually very sunny and it clears up pretty well. Last year was a low snow year. I think I used the snowblower once.
Okay.
This year it's already, I mean, it's only December and I've used it twice. We don't get a lot of snow until basically late winter, early spring. That's when we get the worst snow. That's when we get the 2 feet. But we got a foot on Friday night when I had to, you know, wake up at 5 a.m. and drive my wife to the airport.
Of course.
Right.
You know, it's always the best time for the snow is when you need to go somewhere very important.
Right. Like, I don't have time to clear the driveway. Let's hope the SUV gets out.
Well, that's weather around the United
States. Weather talk. let's see, Tom. I think we're up for your last question here, huh?
This is the part where Tom would have asked his question. His question was, do you think Disney killed Star Wars? So many people complain that Star Wars was so much better before Disney took over. Do you think Disney killed Star Wars? And here's our answers. I'm going to say no, because honestly, we had George Lucas's original idea for what he wanted for the first three movies, which turned out to be a lot of Mark adding a lot of CGI special effects on things. But the story wasn't as good as his story of 4, 5, and 6. Then when he sold it and we got 7, 8, and 9, I think they made a mistake with their direction of those three movies. They should have had a bigger overall theme and stuff like that. But then when they came up with the Disney Plus series, I think that's where they're really doing a very good job. The Mandalorian, first season of Mandalorian was amazing because it was We thought we were going to get a Boba Fett story, and we get this other bounty hunter instead. But it was awesome. It was everything that we wanted Boba Fett to be, just in a brand new character. And the fact that that was the first one out of the gate for them, it was amazing. Like, I remember watching it, and that's when we started this podcast. We were doing show reviews, and I watched every episode like three times before we did our show. And we did our show the night after it came on. So I watched it like three times that very first day. I remember waking up at like 5 a.m. to watch it, because it didn't drop in on the East Coast time till like 3 a.m. So I remember waking up at like 5, watching it quietly without waking my wife, then watching it at lunchtime, then watching it when I got home, and then talking about it the night after that. So they hit that out of the park. Some of them weren't as good. Unfortunately, the storyline for the Boba Fett one, no offense, Mark. I know. It's like, look, I was in one scene. I had nothing to do with this. Two scenes. But the storyline for Dad Bod Boba Fett was not nearly as good as the storylines that they had in The Mandalorian. I think we probably all really would have rather have the prequel story of Boba Fett, of why was Darth Vader saying he's the greatest bounty hunter of all time when we first meet him. Why does he specifically turn to him and say no disintegration? You know, who was this guy? I think that would have been a better story, but I didn't write it. And then Andor, I think, was one of the best storytelling stories, Star Wars or not, on Disney Plus ever. I think it was so gritty and so good. And there's scenes, times when you forget that it was even a Star Wars movie. It was just a good war story. And then you're like, oh, look at that. They have blasters. They don't have M16s or whatever. So did Disney ruin it? Long story short, no, I don't think so. Is there some things that they're obviously overdoing? Sure. But that's what, when you spend that much money on a property, you want to make sure you get your money back out of it. So do I blame them for it? No, mm-hmm. because they're trying to get their money back out of it. So that's what I have to say. A very long-winded story. Sorry about that. Mark, it's your turn.
I have to agree with you. I think the biggest thing that played a part in this whole anti-Disney thing is the gap we had, you know, the dark years that we had between, because we weren't allowed to age with it. We aged and left Star Wars behind, and then suddenly we get new Star Wars, and we're cantankerous old bastards now. So of course it's not going to be accepted like it was when we were kids, because we're old and crusty now.
So right,
it's the gap that has created this whole rift, I think. And so when Disney took it, they already were at a disadvantage, and I think the disadvantage, we even felt it with the prequels, you know, because we had this gap. I was expecting in the prequels to have brand new X-Wing fighters, because, you know, the Rebels bought all the old Starfighters. Yeah. These are old Starfighters. I want to see brand new X-Wing fighters back then. And brand new. I wanted to see at least some of the ships, like Star Destroyers. I would have seen something much more like they became the Star Destroyers, or you saw that progression, but I wanted to see it on episode 1. I wanted to see I wanted to see something, like I just said, when they throw in Dr. Evazan. You know, if he had done that with episode 1, we would have accepted those prequels much more readily, I think.
Yeah.
With the Disney Plus stuff, I agree. The only thing I don't like about the Disney Plus stuff is the week to week. For me, I get to the end of the series, and when I binge watch it, it's 10 times better than watching it week to week. When you can watch it all the way through, it's 10 times better. Like when they finished the first season of Mandalorian, I think I binge watched it at least 9 times. Like at least 9 times. I just couldn't stop watching it. It was a great, you know, and I wouldn't watch it in one sitting, obviously, but I watched it over and over and over again because I was waiting for season two, you know?
Yeah.
But to your point about the Book of Boba Fett, when they said the book of, just those three words suggested to me all of the stories that, as you said, added to his mythos, right? So I thought we were going to see him, as you said, younger, pre-Empire, thinner, not taking his helmet off, as it was. So when I saw Book of Boba Fett, I was like, oh my God. You know, I was really worried about it. I was really worried about The Mandalorian. And I'm glad they chose to choose another Mandalorian than Boba Fett, because there's so much attached to Boba Fett, so much passion. It's too fragile. It's too fragile. But when they said the Book of, I was really hoping for, okay, like you said, we're going to find out why he's the most infamous bounty hunter. I wanted to see his first encounter with Bossk, you know, how he befriended Dengar. They probably were at odds with each other over a bounty, you know, kind of like IG-11 and Din Djarin in episode one. I was hoping for those kind of stories, but Boba Fett. There was episode six of The Mandalorian when they escaped from the prison ship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was questioning, oh, why are the Mandalorians such a big deal, you know? And then he showed him why it was a big deal. And I wanted that for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But the very first episode of the series, he gets beaten up. He's in a Bacta tank every other second. It's like, what's happening? He takes his helmet off and he goes in a cantina, which you never would. This cantina, like you said, people get shot in cantinas. and you just toss them a couple of coins. Sorry about the mess, you know? So why would you take, especially one you've never been in, why would you remove this is the most treasured piece of all his arsenal. You know, I think they haven't really played with his sonar stuff, you know. I think he can see behind him just from the sonar, you know, these earpieces, which they never explore. I wanted to see what it looked like through his visor. Like, what kind of HUD does he have? What kind of, you know, I wanted to see all of that. And I think they made a mistake jumping chronologically, you know, from the Tusken Raiders to, you know, when he comes out of the Sarlacc and back and forth, because we're already trying to fit it into the original trilogy and the Mandalorian series. We're already doing that jump. And so I think it would have played out much better if they'd just not kept four episodes of Tusken Raider. Tusken Raider having to have him separate from his gadgets and learn kind of up close and personal. I wanted to see much more of a build for that and then go into whatever they want to go into. But that's another discussion. I think they were given a bad set of cards to play with because of the gap.
Right.
The gap was so big. And like you said, they've not done everything great. Even the Book of Boba Fett, if you binge watch it, it's much more forgiving than watching it week to week. But I say to a lot of people that come to conventions and all they want to do is trash the Disney Plus stuff. And I'm signing next to Disney Plus actors. So, I feel for them. I feel for them. And this guy's bad-mouthing. It happened in New Jersey. And
that surprises me, because people in Jersey are always so nice.
Famously.
But I feel like telling them, okay, if you had Obi-Wan Kenobi series in 1985, would you have been so as hard on it as you are right now? No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
If I was in 1985, 19 years old, I would have eaten that stuff up, like, you know, because I there was that, like I said, that gap where there was nothing, no toys, no nothing, and those for me were the dark times, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I feel like Disney weren't given a very fair. They weren't given very good cards to begin with. They haven't played it particularly well, but for some series like Mandalorian and Andor, yeah, they knocked it out of the park.
And I also think, like, using a Simpsons reference, when Homer was a food critic and he said, oh, this food is great. Nobody cared. But when he went to a place and he said, oh, this food is garbage, then suddenly he's like this famous food critic that everybody's afraid of. And that's the way the internet is, unfortunately. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
100 years from now, when they look back on us, I can't wait to see what they say about what we did with the internet and how we abused it and all this stuff. Because the only way you get any attention is by saying negative things about stuff. So it's like, oh, let me say something mean about Star Wars and then people will pay attention to me.
Joe Rogan gave a great description to these people. He called them the recreationally outraged. And they are. I hate the recreationally outraged. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that. I'm going to make that public. I have no time. Whenever there's anyone negative on my feed, block. I've got no time. No time for them.
No, not at all.
Anyway, so sorry. Again, long answer, but I'll pass it over to Eric.
Oh, that was a great answer. You had me thinking, because that idea where we had so long to form these ideas in our head of what things would be. I played the Star Wars role-playing game when I was a teenager, and I bought all of these source books that taught me all the backstories of all of these people. I'm like, wow, they actually wrote backstories on all these people. And we imagined what the Clone Wars would be. And we expanded and put people in the Clone Wars and guessed at what that was and what happens with all the Jedi who were killed by the Emperor. Obviously, there was this mass extinction event. What happens when our Jedi character, because everybody wants to play a Jedi, what happens when the Emperor comes after you and Vader comes after you? And we made up all these stories about the things that happened just before the movies and all the things that happened way after the movies. And yeah, I get it. When it comes time for somebody to say, this is the canon truth, after the fact or before the fact, you go, we never came up with that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's what he thought the Clone Wars was. Oh, cool. I chose to go the way of wow, I didn't know that that's what he was thinking, from a pat, you know, just a toss away sentence from Obi-Wan in the first movie. I fought with your father in the Clone Wars, and you know, he went back, and it, who knows how much George Lucas had come up with at that time. We don't know, but he went back and he said, this is what I think the Clone Wars are, and we're stuck with it. And okay, yeah, we're all crusty old men now. I'm just happy that they're still making stuff. They might have made too much for a little bit, Disney. And they learned from that and said, okay, let's pull back. And I don't mind that. I mean, people have horrible things to say about, like, Kathleen Kennedy. It's like, you know what? She's in charge of an awful lot. And she's the one who said, all right, okay, pump the brakes. We have the money to do this, but maybe the billions of dollars you gave us, we could put to better use. Because we all still watched it, didn't we? We all watched it 3 times in the theaters, if not more. We're still eating it up. We're still talking about it. Everybody wants to be negative now. And yet, like you've already said, Andor was phenomenal. People badmouthed Solo. I remember so distinctly. What I mean, I was in Walt Disney World when I saw Solo for the first time. My family were on this giant full family vacation. We wanted to go to the premiere there, and I ended up meeting before we went in. I met Mark Dodson, the voice of Salacious Crumb.
No way!
You're talking about convention folks. Yeah, I just we were having a mojito outside the theater before we went in, and and my dad and I are smoking cigars outside, and he comes over, he's like, you can smoke out here. Let's have a cigar. We were all sitting around talking, and he was there for a convention, and he had seen it the night before, and he was talking about the movie and just talking about his experiences, and it was so much fun. So. Okay, I tied the movie in with a fun experience of meeting
Right. So of course,
a Star Wars guy, but
it means so much more to you now.
Right. But still, it's a fun movie, and all of these things are fun. They're supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So have fun. Andor is more serious, but it's still enjoyable being in this universe and learning something more about it. I've read so many books. I've read a lot of books, read comic books. I've played a role playing game where I spent every precious dollar that I made working crap jobs as a teenager to buy all these source books and things. That money I could have been spending taking girls to movies, but no, we're going to play role playing games. My nerd friends and I.
I must say that the Solo movie, when I first saw it, I was kind of on the fence. Second viewing, I was like, oh my God. Same with Andor. First viewing, I'm like, I think because of the week to week. That's what really messes me up. The week to week, especially with the story, week to week messes me up.
Didn't help it.
No. But going back and watching a second time, I'm like, I love this. It's like, it's funny that those two went from a to a, oh my God, I see past all of that prejudice that is built in, and I see the excellence in it. And I'm the same with you. I can't say enough. I hope they make a Solo too. I really do.
I love seeing
that. Yeah.
I'd love to see more there. And I can say it didn't completely blow me away, but it was a fun day. And the only movie that has truly made me like sitting on the edge of my seat where my wife is like, you couldn't stop smiling, was Rogue One, where I'm like, there are new spaceships.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's that ship? I want to learn more about it. Like all of the things that happened in it just completely... They were having a war in the stars.
And we got to see Darth Vader. Like, we want to see why Boba Fett was Boba Fett. We got to see Darth Vader for why everyone's trembling in their boots in New Hope.
Oh,
you know?
Man. That end sequence, I'm so glad that they added that in, because I felt so nervous. Yeah. I was so scared. Like, oh no, they're not going to make it. Oh wait, I know they do.
I know
someone does. Oh no, most of them aren't.
and it was great, especially that one piece. Like, you know where the end is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen. But it was still awesome to watch all the way through. And the same thing with Solo. If Solo's on TBS when they run, their Star Wars marathon, when Solo comes on, I'll stop and watch it. Even with the commercials,
I might watch it tonight. I hate that I always watch it on TBS. Like, well, I have this movie. Why am I watching it with commercials?
Yeah, why am I watching it with commercials? Yeah. So yeah, but both of those movies are now movies that the more you watch it, you're like, oh, this is really. Once you get over, as Tom said earlier, why they gave him the last name of Solo, you get past that one scene. You're by yourself? Okay, Han Solo. There you go. And I'm like, oh, really?
It's fine. Who cares? It's there are cheesier things that have happened in these movies.
There are.
I must say that when Phantom Menace came out, I went to watch it at least 5 times in the cinema just to try and get over that hump of the prejudices and that. And I couldn't quite do it. And I think a lot of it has to do with I really was wanting to see more of Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon just having adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If the first one had just been like, I want to see Jedi's doing Jedi things.
Mm-hmm.
If I can have that, it would lay the foundation for everything afterwards. We've just got to see just them two, their relationship, make that the strong foundation. And then, in the second movie, have the Darth Maul come in and then he dies in the second movie. But I did find the prequels, they've grown on me now, but I do remember going to the cinema and watching them over and over again, trying to beat that prejudice out of me.
Mm-hmm.
It took many years, but
I enjoyed them so much at the time, and I didn't know why everybody was down on them. And then after a while I went back and watched them, like, maybe they're not the greatest. And but then I've come back around because my nieces love them. I'm like, oh, that's right. That's what everybody says. George is like, I made them for kids and these kids love them. And now I have multiple, I have multiple nieces who are super into Star Wars and can't wait to go to Galaxy's Edge with us. And they've watched everything. And they, that's what you want, right? You want the next generation to be into it too.
Yeah.
Right.
If we'd seen it, if we saw Phantom Menace at age 11, I would have eaten that crap up. I would have.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know, my son,
question anything.
Right.
Yeah, my son's just like Eric's nieces, where he loves the Phantom Menace, and because he was young when they came out, and he was like, "Oh, this is so cool," and he was like, "The lightsaber battles are so much better than in episodes 4, 5, and 6." And I'm like,
"Two old men hitting each other with sticks."
Yeah, and I was like, "Well, I have to agree with you; they are a lot better." I'm like, "But it's the story in 4, 5, and 6," and he's like, yeah, but the lightsaber battles, you know, like
I think it just didn't have it, the 4, 5, and 6 just had a really kind of unique sense of tongue in cheek humor that I wish I had a bit more of in some ways in the first three. There wasn't the bickering. The bickering was what we loved. We loved Han bickering with Leia, bickering about get this carpet out of the way, and you know, and old man, cross the old man, what's he gonna do? And bickering.
Yeah.
If we'd had more bickering, I think we would have loved the prequels a lot quicker.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think Tom, you never got a chance to answer this question. Sorry, Tom. Did you? Well, that was awesome. That's it. I mean, we went through four questions and it's been an hour, but it feels like we've just been talking for 20 minutes. I think we're all best friends now. Did we just become best friends?
That's the best thing about doing conventions is making best friends of all my heroes, because I'm alongside them, you know, but I got added in, you know, 20 years or something after they did.
Yeah.
But yet we're kind of all together in, you know, a restaurant together, and they send me emails. Are you going to be at this convention? Because I am, and I hope to see you there. And so making friends of my heroes, like Mark Dodson. Mark Dodson's a very good friend of mine now. That was something I just wanted to be Boba Fett. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
13 years old, I wanted to be Boba Fett. And my mother didn't believe me when I told her about being Boba Fett. She thought it was just too fantastical.
Like, yeah.
How can that happen? How can you become your idol? That doesn't make any sense. And I sent her a postcard from the producer, Tom Kennedy, saying, "Oh, to Mark Blower, you make a great Boba." And I sent her the postcard and a picture of me in the suit without the helmet on, with just the hood. And she didn't believe me till that point that she received that letter. It was too fantastic. But I think we have become friends in this podcast. So.
I think so. And you, with my regular podcast, when you were on before, you have what Nick and I have always talked about that we would love to be. And just even if you're a background character in Star Wars, not that you were a background character, you were Boba Fett, but you were a Boba Fett in the remastered in two scenes and whatever. But just by that, like, now people are like, "Oh my God," like, they're so happy to see you. Like, we were so happy that when you said, "Yeah, I'll come back on again," I'm like, "Oh my God, it's so amazing." You know, like I could be that guy in the back of the cantina who's sipping on some bubbly drink. And I'll be like, "Dude, that was me." You know, like, people come up and, "Oh my God, I loved when you know, like, you're living the dream, you know, even though you're out of work right now. But other than that, you're living the dream."
I am. I've said for decades now that I can die right now, and I've lived a blessed life, you know. I've lived the life that I never dreamed I would have, worked on movies that I've always idolized, and worked with directors I've idolized. And so even though I'm unemployed, I have nothing to complain about with my life.
Yeah.
That was the last thing on my list.
Oh, no, not the last one.
That was. It's the very last thing.
Look at that.
Cross it out right now. There you go.
Cross it. Yeah, look at that.
Done.
Well, we are thrilled that you were able to come back on.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, for sure.
This is awesome. So Before we go, real fast, I just want to say this does conclude our second episode of Bantha Milk Presents Around the Degeric Table. When we want to thank our two extraordinary guests. We had great banter, a lot of good discussions, Eric and Mark. First, Mark, go ahead. This is your time. If you ever watched Hot Ones, that camera there, that camera there, that camera there, go ahead and plug away whatever you want to plug, whatever you want
to
say.
I've got something to plug.
Go for it.
Next year, I think it's probably around that June of next year, summer at least. They're keeping it till summer. I don't know why. But Ultraman Rising, it comes out on Netflix. It's an anime-esque stylized feature-length movie of Ultraman. And it's got the blessing of Tsuburaya, is it? Yeah, Tsuburaya. He gave it his blessing. He gave it his blessing all the way through. We kept checking in with him. But everyone says to me, what's your favorite movie out of all the 50 plus you've worked on? And it's always been New Hope. I have to say, for the fun and pride, Ultraman Rising is now the number one. So I'm plugging it for next year. Ultraman Rising.
I'm going to mark it down on my calendar now to watch it next summer. That's awesome. And then, of course, you know, your Facebook page is...
It's under Boba Fett ANHSE. That stands for a New Hope Special Edition.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can find me under Mark Austin, Mark Anthony Austin, or at Boba Fett ANHSE.
And at a convention coming soon?
Convention is not until next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just missed you in the Jersey convention, darn it.
Yeah, just missed me.
All right, Eric, what about you? Go ahead and plug away whatever you want to plug. Bowie-splaining, you know, any of the other things that you talk about.
Bowie-splaining's the newest episode, the newest show that I'm doing with one of my very good friends who is a giant David Bowie fan and has been for many years. It definitely has never impersonated David Bowie on a message board in the 90s. I know nothing about David Bowie, so... I'm learning things. I'm guessing things. I try not to read about any of these songs before we talk about. We've been going album by album. We're going to start bringing in some supplemental materials and movies. Only episode one has come out so far, once a month, probably on the first of the month, you'll get new episodes there. So that's my new thing. And then there's the Hub Crawl, our Disney Roundtable podcast that Rob stole
from. But I changed it. I did a perfect stealing where I changed it just enough that it's now about Star Wars instead of Disney.
Well,
so it's completely different.
And some of the script was different too.
Look, I've listened to every one of your episodes, so the script was just embedded in my head. I practically said the same exact intro that you guys say, just because it's forced into my head.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we've been doing that for a couple of years now. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have a podcast like this where you just you meet new friends, you get old friends together, and you just kind of hang out, and it's minimal prep, and you talk.
That's right. It was awesome. Well, thank you both. Tom, I know you want to say thank you also, so you can hit us up with some thank yous, especially thank me, because I introduced you to Mark, and now we're all best friends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, from all of us here, I would just want to say I'm stealing Luke's line now. May the force be with you, Mark, Eric, Tom. Thank you all very much. And this was awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.